Hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
Here we are to talk about evolution.
We're getting deep.
I guess so. Well, we'll get to
like
that.
Oh, not like real evolution, right. Just like the episode title. The episode.
So this episode originally aired August 15th, 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Cindy Chupac. I'm sure I'm saying her name wrong. And I feel bad. You're an incredible writer. She's not listening. But anyway.
You don't know that.
I guess I don't know that. It's directed by Pam Thomas. She's going to direct two more episodes in season three.
All right. Hey, Pam.
Hey, Pam. And I have the DVD recap. Everything evolves. Or does it? Charlotte dates a dessert chef who could be gay straight or maybe straight gay. Miranda ponders the future when her time clock sets off a minor alarm. Carrie tries to leave a few belongings at Big's apartment. And Samantha plans revenge on an ex that's too good to be true.
Now, before we start, I want to talk about something, and I posted this to our Instagram account today, so 2 weeks ago, for all of you listening right now. I know I've mentioned it before, but I love the guy in the mesh blouse in the credits that just looks over at Carrie.
You know, it's really funny. I have another friend that I was talking to recently that was talking about how she never even really noticed that guy, but because I mentioned him in the pilot, she sees it, like, he sticks out every single time.
Yeah, and now. I just, like, I want to know his story. So if you know him... If you are him,
I wonder.
If
I mean,
you still
I
have
even,
that top.
I don't even know how you cast for an opening credit sequence. I mean, I don't know if they were all extras or.
I don't. I mean, it could all be very different because that was definitely recorded probably before the show. Absolutely. Yeah.
After the pilot was shot, you know, we should look it up. There is a video that kind of talks about the breakdown of that pilot because I've mentioned this before, but that was not the original credit sequence. She's not originally hit by water and she's not wearing that tutu in the original credit sequence. So we should look at that online and have better information about that. Yeah. But yeah, where are you, mesh top guy?
And also, speaking of having better information, when we talked about Old Dogs, New Dicks, episode 9, I say that Nels was, Hedda says, like, oh, Nels was that a girl that was in the original cast of Rocky Horror Show. She opened that restaurant. And I was like, oh, and he said Violet. And I said Magenta. It wasn't. It was Nell Campbell who played Columbia.
All right.
So I just wanted to correct myself.
Do you know that I've never, ever seen Rocky Horror in any shape or form?
Well, you should watch it now.
Yeah.
And also, kind of a weird full circle moment, Nell's closed down and then was repurchased, that building, years later by Chris Noth and another man, and was open in like this like private club called SA.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird?
So we start off with there's nothing,
there is
more,
nothing
humiliating.
More humiliating for a woman than a visit to the gynecologist.
Now, being a gentleman, I do not have this experience. Do you find it humiliating?
I mean, it's definitely an awkward experience.
I would imagine.
Know? I mean, I'm not humiliated because it's just part of female reproductive health, you know, a women's wellness visit, as they call it now. So I'm not like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. I guess I would maybe be if there was like something extremely strange happening. I will tell you that it's awkward, and the way I deal with awkward situations is like cracking jokes. And the last time I was there, I had to do some sort of ultrasound, and I didn't realize that it was going to be an internal ultrasound where the camera goes in the vagine. And when I discovered that, she was like, so we're just going to insert the camera. I replied with, oh, can I have a copy of this for my reel? And then I had to explain to her like what a reel was. And she was like, why would you? And I was like, it was a joke. And it,
Yeah, that's when you have to explain the joke.
Yeah.
So she's going off of her birth control.
Right, which I thought Miranda really goes to these extremes when it comes to her sex life.
Are you trying to have a baby?
No. Yes, I sort of jumped the gun going on it in the first place because Steve, the first real relationship I've had in years is over and I don't need a daily reminder that I'm not having sex. So, okay, I'm quiet now.
Once again, not being a lady, you don't go on birth control. Like, if you go on birth control, it doesn't work the next day, does it? Isn't there like a...
It takes
a while to kick in?
Quickly,
oh, does it?
I okay. Think. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know in 1998 if there were different...
Right.
But even like if you miss it, you're supposed to double up and then you have to start. But like, it does work relatively quickly. I just find it interesting that, like, it is so one extreme or the other with her, you know? Yeah. Like, she's just always like, well, nothing's happening to me, you know, life is over. And now she's just going to be completely celibate because it didn't work out with Steve. Well, it could have worked out with Steve, but she ruined it.
I don't know if she ruined it. I think you're giving him an awful lot of credit in this situation. So in this process, though, I think the line is kind of funny that the doctor is, you know, everything's fine. Oh, except for this one thing.
Right.
So she has a lazy ovary.
But I feel like there's always something effed up with your ovaries when you go to the doctor, too.
Yeah.
They're always like, you're fine. You have 43 cysts on the left one.
Right.
But they're fine.
Everything's okay except for all these fibroid tumors.
Yeah, everything's fine. You have varicose veins on your ovaries. It's always like something that you think, and they're like, but it's really normal. And I'm right. Like, what does it look like in there?
It's just a mess.
Yeah.
So we go to, she doesn't really eat that salad.
No, she just gives it right back.
Like, she didn't touch the salad.
Yeah, and then Carrie's wearing a pink necklace now in addition. And I'm wondering now if in every episode, Carrie just adds a new necklace, like but little, doesn't take one layer, off. A layer,
right.
And then we notice, and I don't know if, like, this is old news to you Sex and the City fans, but if you notice, one of the background actors gives a menu to the waiter.
Yeah, yeah,
and it
yeah.
says the name, and it's either Cafe Care, Cape Cafe, Cafe
I feel like it says Cafe Cafe.
Okay, so it just says Cafe Cafe.
And there's like a drawing of like a fork.
Yeah.
Or a cactus. I think it's a fork, though. Okay. Yeah, I think it's Cafe Cafe. I think that they went as general neutral as possible.
Oh, here I am, like, the Care Cafe.
You could be right. I'll have to take a closer look at that. But I feel like I've paused it before and tried to read it.
Yeah.
And it always reminds me, there is a cafe down on 14th Street that it reminds me of, though we have established that it is a set. We also learn a little bit about Charlotte in this scene,
mm-hmm.
that Charlotte has a tilted uterus.
Right. Another thing that I actually know many people with.
Uh-huh. We have this sort of discussion of having a male gynecologist versus a female gynecologist.
Yeah, I have some friends that prefer males. I have some friends that prefer females. I have some friends, including myself, who just really don't care.
I tried to go to a man, but it was just too strange. Having a guy spend all that time down there and then you leave without an orgasm and a bill.
I just think if I was a female, I would really want a female gynecologist.
Doesn't bother me. And then we discuss the lingerie of, because Carrie goes to pay for the check.
Yeah, and her
thong
under thing comes out of the purse. And they kind of play with it. And I sort of am like, I guess we're just assuming that's clean.
Well, because she says she's going to bed. Yeah, okay. Which means it's clean. And she makes this comment to Miranda, or not, sorry. She makes this comment to Samantha where she talks about, because Samantha says she just leaves the underwear there because she never gets it back.
Right.
And she's like, Carrie says, disposing of lingerie every time you sleep with a guy. And she kind of like slut shames Samantha.
Yeah, but I think
here.
That they're all in agreement that Samantha sleeps around
I know,
a
but
lot.
I feel like Carrie's the one that keeps making the comments. Like, she's like, I don't believe we're in double digits anymore.
You know what is going to develop as this series goes along, which I think is really interesting, and I wonder where this comes from. Carrie is sort of judgmental about other people's sex lives.
Yeah.
And it sort of becomes more and more of a thing as we journey along, that you're kind of like, for someone who called yourself, what it was, a sexual anthropologist or whatever, she does get a little bit judgy about certain sexual situations. The comment is made of, like, after all this time, you still don't have a drawer. So we, once again, they have been together for a while. I also just want to take a quick, and maybe this is just a me thing. I'm a big advocate of wearing underwear.
Okay.
So Samantha says that she just doesn't wear underwear when she goes on dates anymore.
And that's why I'm never borrowing a dress from you again.
Yeah, underwear's there for a reason. It does keep things separate from other things.
Right.
So, you know, you do you. But
I'm being silent here. I do wear underwear. I was just interested in
seeing. It's not even a thing I think about. It's not even like, should I today or should I just put the underwear on?
I mean, sometimes if I take a shower and I'm going to bed, I don't put it on before bed.
Well, that's, I guess, a little bit different.
Because like, I don't want to. I don't know.
Now we know Elise sleeps naked.
I don't sleep naked. I just don't always have underwear on under my pajamas. But sometimes I do.
We mentioned scrunchies.
Yeah.
This is not the scrunchy moment I think that people were referring to when they say that we're going to have a scrunchy moment coming up.
Well, they said in season 4.
Yes, even though it's actually going to be in season 6, which I only say so that we don't spend the entire season 4 waiting for the scrunchie to happen.
Well, also, I was like, if this is the scrunchie moment, then... I was surprised. I'm like, with all the shit you girls wear, you're going to judge someone for wearing a scrunchie?
Come on. I feel like there has to be a writer on the staff that doesn't like scrunchies or something like that.
And then they talk about how, you know, Carrie says, like,
half my music collection is left behind by past boyfriends.
Yeah, and I was like, half the stuff in my apartment's from ex-roommates.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
You know, people are always like, I'm moving out, and then they just leave all the shit they don't want anymore.
We do have a sad Steve moment.
Then I want a t-shirt that says, I dated a bartender and all I got was this lousy ovary.
I don't think that was Steve's
fault. I don't think that was a gift from Steve, but it is a little moment. We cut to Carrie in a crouch doing her hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think that stance is funny. I don't know. Is that comfortable?
When she's what? Just like, blow drying her hair?
Her hair like crouched near the floor.
Maybe for her it is. I've got bad knees. That would probably hurt.
So Carrie kind of starts leaving stuff. We have a shot from inside.
She's going to leave the Hair Pro, what does she call it?
2000, but not 900.
No, it looks like a hotel
blow dryer. It does look like a hotel blow dryer. And then we see that she's slowly leaving things behind.
And he doesn't notice, or he does, but he doesn't
really say anything. Yeah. We get to Charlotte on a date. Mm-hmm. She comes out and calls this guy her gay friend, Stefan.
Mm-hmm. Stefan.
Stefan.
Played by
Dan Futterman.
I have some fun facts about him.
Yeah.
If you don't.
I do, but you go for it.
He wrote the screenplay for Capote.
Yeah, and he wrote the screenplay for Foxcatcher. He was nominated for Academy Awards.
He replaced Joe Mantello in Angels in America.
Oh, the original Broadway I didn't know that guest. One. Yeah, he's done a ton of work. He's done a ton of work as an actor. I always think of him as the son from The Birdcage.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the first time that I saw him. But yeah, he's not just an actor. He writes and directs mm-hmm. and produces, like I said, 2 Academy Award nominations. And he's a cutie.
He is. He's super cute. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to forgive Charlotte for what she says.
Okay.
Charlotte says, I had no idea that Betty Buckley was so talented. Then you must have not known she existed.
Maybe Charlotte's not as big of like a theater Broadway person.
No, because then she would have been like, oh my gosh, thank you for introducing me to Betty Buckley. You don't just not know Betty Buckley is talented. Grizabella.
There we go.
What show were they seeing? Was it just like a benefit or something?
It must be. They don't mention it. I don't think she was doing a show in 1999, so it was probably just a concert or something like that. Right. Or they might have not even seen her. She might have just come up in conversation or something like that.
Right.
So they're at 85th and Broadway. Once again, an area that I'm well familiar with.
Okay.
You can see French Roast right across the street. Mm-hmm. So French Roast was there and probably 24 hours at the time. It is not anymore.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, they close for a few hours at night now.
Oh. And then we get into the conversation. Well, because then, so she gets herself a cab because
he can't get a cab. It's so silly and not that big of a deal, but they reference that she lives uptown from there.
But I don't think in that scene they're supposed to.
Yeah,
they're
so I don't think they're really at 85th. That wouldn't make a ton of sense.
So she gets the cab and then he kisses her goodbye.
The gay friend gives her a kiss, a very passionate kiss, mm-hmm. and she is left a little bewildered looking at him through the cab window.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to 4 women having drinks.
Having drinks in like red martini glasses.
Red and blue martini glasses.
So they're like, listen, we don't care about the color of these cosmos. We're just going to put water in these things.
Exactly.
So, yeah, now the conversation comes up where Charlotte's confused. Is he a gay straight man, a straight gay man?
What we're doing here, and I'm fine with the terminology. I don't care whatsoever. What we're talking about isn't gay versus straight much. We're talking about masculine versus, I suppose you could say, feminine.
Right. Or just in this day and age, like, his interests.
And it really is true, though. I mean, it's equating masculinity with heterosexuality and femininity with homosexuality.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's just his interest.
Yeah, and it's easy to go that route.
Right.
And certainly we've all had that moment of judging or assuming. But I know plenty of gay men that you wouldn't, like, guess are gay. And I know many straight men who don't act stereotypically heterosexual.
Correct. Like, I was actually watching this whole thing thinking, I would love to date someone like Stefan.
Right.
Like someone who appreciates Betty Buckley and pastries.
Uh-huh. I mean, I both want to handle the topic carefully, but I'm also not going to completely, like, watch every word that I say. There is still the fear, I think, of dating, we'll call him the gay straight man, who just hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
It would be foolish to say that there are men in their 30s who, like, that everyone in their 30s is out. Like,
right.
There are still people that struggle with that.
Oh, no,
later
absolutely.
In life.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a validity to it, and there's also kind of a stereotypical danger to it.
Right. And I think that Stefan handles it quite well with
absolutely.
His response
yeah,
later
absolutely.
On, where you're like, oh, okay.
So and we find out that Miranda's on hormones.
And then Samantha does another Karen Walker moment.
It's recreational because this drink isn't doing it for me.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say, hey, Samantha, Miranda's not ever going to probably pop a pill in front of you that's
right.
recreational.
Percodan.
Yeah.
Samantha, might be time for her to go to Connecticut.
So we find out that Carrie is leaving things behind.
Mm-hmm.
She finds out that she left something very specific behind.
Well, because she says, did you guys notice my purse? And it's like, no, because it looks like it's for an American Girl doll.
Yeah.
Like, everything Carrie has in this scene is so small. Like, she has a tiny shirt,
yeah.
a tiny purse.
Uh-huh.
And, like,
I also feel like that top she's wearing, I feel like she wore something similar to it in the last episode.
Well, so did Britney Spears and I'm a Slave for You.
Right. Yeah. So we're kind of established, like, this is, we're definitely, and we're going to mention it, that Carrie is evolving her style.
Right. And so her point of showing this ridiculously tiny purse is that she doesn't need a big purse because she doesn't have underwear with her because she's leaving things at Biggs.
And then Charlotte freaks out over the discovery that Carrie went to the bathroom at Biggs.
Oh, no!
And they keep saying a number two.
A number two.
Like, they just
but
can't
Charlotte's,
say crap.
Charlotte's, yeah, Charlotte's reaction. She's, like, horrified
yeah.
by it.
And, I mean, I am someone who cannot poop in public. I everyone knows this. I uh-huh. don't know why I can't do it. So I remember I went on like a trip to the International Thespian Festival in high school, and I almost went the whole week without going because
my Lord.
I just get really nervous, and it takes me a while. And so you'll know if I really like you, like if you're my friends or things. Like if I can poop at your house,
I
shout
can
out
do
to
it.
Those people
yeah.
whose houses I pooped at.
There's a song in there somewhere.
Yeah, pooped at your house.
Yeah, and then someone sends a drink to Sam.
And then we find out it's Dominic Delmonico.
Very alliterative mm-hmm. name we're getting here.
Played by John Shea.
Yeah, John Shea, I think of mostly from a TV movie called Small Sacrifices that Farrah Fawcett was in.
I think of Gossip Girl.
Oh, see, I didn't watch Gossip Girl. But yeah, that is a big credit of his.
Yeah.
We establish two things. We establish that this is a man who once broke Samantha's heart.
And then we establish it's possible to break
right,
Samantha's
exactly.
heart.
And we reestablish, I feel like we've kind of delved in this territory before, that of the four of them, Charlotte is the newest one.
Okay.
Because Charlotte was not aware of this
right.
happening. So, and I feel like we've had a couple of hints along the way that of these four friends, Charlotte is the most recent to have joined the group.
Yeah, I think especially like when Charlotte goes on that date with that guy, and Carrie had been on a date with him before,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. We had a few of these moments. So yeah, Charlotte's a little bit newer to the group. We cut to Big arriving at Carrie's house,
mm-hmm.
and Big has brought her stuff back. We think
right.
that she's gotten a present.
I knew right away.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
I want to just state quickly, this storyline is annoying to me.
Okay.
Because Big isn't stupid.
Right.
Like, he's playing this act of, we're going to get to this where she says, like, I meant to leave that there. But he's not an idiot. Like, there's no way that Mr. Big is like, oh, she forgot to leave this stuff. I should take it back to her. She'll be so happy that I did this. So I sort of hate this storyline because it doesn't make any sense to me. Because it just makes it seem like Mr. Big has no concept of a human and what they would and how they would behave.
Well, I think it's him knowing exactly what she's doing and bringing it back so that they can have this discussion and he can establish that he wants his space and her space. And when they want to be together, they're together. And when they want to be apart, they're apart.
Yeah, and that's fine. But there are certain things. I don't know. I mean, she, and to her credit, she wastes no time in saying, like, I meant to leave those things.
Right.
And you can leave things here. And why would I want to leave things here? Like, I don't know. It's just the conversation I find a little bit infuriating. And I understand I totally agree with what you're saying, that this is all for him to establish. We get to this whole Woody and Mia thing.
Ever since Woody Allen described waving to Mia Farrow across the park,
Single men in Manhattan had yearned for that kind of separate togetherness.
Oh, this husband and wife that don't live together and what great freedom this is. I do want to point out that they didn't work out.
Right.
So maybe it's not the greatest suggestion for how
to He's help. Probably not someone to look at for, like, relationships.
In general, let's not look to Woody to guide our romance. So it's fine. I just find it a little bit, and Big's whole attitude of like, what do you mean? Why would I want to? But like, he just can't comprehend why she'd want to leave a hairdryer behind instead of carrying it around. I don't know.
She's like, if you haven't noticed, I've been doing my hair straight these days.
Yeah. So it's,
and she says like, I don't, unlike Beyonce, I don't wake up like this, you know?
Yeah. So this gets us to it's a very long question.
Mm-hmm. Was I the one who needed to adapt? Is my view of a relationship extinct? We can have anything delivered at any hour. We can have our dogs walked, our clothes cleaned, our food cooked. Who needs a husband when you have a doorman? Are New Yorkers evolving past relationships?
We get to a one-take walk. I wonder how many times they did this walk. Where Carrie and Samantha are walking down eating...
Frozen yogurt.
Okay.
I'm going to say Tasty Delight.
Probably something like that. Tasty Delight was very big.
Mm-hmm.
Still is, but was very
no,
big.
No, I don't think it's as big as
is
it was.
Not?
No.
Yeah, it was a huge deal back in the day.
I remember.
Tasty Delight. So they're doing their little walk and talk where it's sort of the overall message. Samantha is now plotting her revenge on this man that hurt her, that she's going to lure him along and then break his heart this time.
Right.
I can't decide whether you represent our future or our demise.
I am the future.
And I guess, I don't know, the question of are we evolving past relationships? I don't think we are.
No.
And I'm someone who hasn't been in a relationship for a very long time.
And I think in New York, it's so easy to keep yourself so busy that relationships just almost feel like a burden.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's like we're evolving past them. It's maybe they're just changing because, you know, I have 14 things I need to do this week and, but, you know, like, I can't have you here all the time. And
right. Just busier lives. And
it
does take time. You have to carve out time for relationships.
And it can be a selfish city. You know, everyone's, like, trying to make it.
Right. Do their own thing. We have a quick scene on a date with Dom. Mm-hmm. Sam and Dominic. Just them sitting at the table.
Samantha's giving us, like, Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. It's a short scene.
She's being, like, weird Samantha, though, where she's all like, oh, again.
I read that you got the sailboat.
Yes, well, we had good times in that boat.
You and Anka?
You and I.
Oh. She's just trying to think, like, get under his skin, I suppose.
Right.
We then get to Charlotte at Stefan's.
Mm-hmm. And he's cooking Martha's recipe.
Yeah, those are weird. That, like, weird flatbread with mushrooms on it.
Yeah, it's like
it's not really a
portobello
pizza.
Yeah, it's very strange. And then Charlotte comments, oh, you have those linen placemats from Bergdorf. And I'm like, that would be hell. Like, linen placemats. Because how do you clean them once they get dirty? And
yeah. It's her dream kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, it is a nice
kitchen. Fantasy kitchen, yeah.
This is my fantasy.
And he's in a Hawaiian blouse.
And then mentions her Cynthia Rowley dress. You're just sort of, once again, playing with the gay versus straight, masculine versus feminine, that he kind of slingshots from one to the other back and forth. It's all just meant to confuse Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
We get Dom at Sam's and a quick scene in bed. And I've had a conversation with a friend of mine where we've kind of talked about the one that hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if everyone has that. But I do, and this friend also does, have that person that, though I don't have any desire to be with them, the way in which our relationship ended, that person will always remind me of being hurt. That person will always remind me of feeling rejected by someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't go away, even though I don't want that person anymore.
Oh, I definitely have that.
And I think that's funny. I feel like most of us do. I feel like most of us have that one that hurt us, and we don't want a reconciliation, but it always kind of remind you of being in that, like, horrible, sensitive place.
Right. Or it just reminds you of, like...
rejection.
I have this joke about, like, years ago, going on a date and not ending the way I wanted it to, and knowing that it wasn't going to end the way I wanted it to, and going on like a second date and being like, what am I supposed to wear to be told that this isn't going to work out?
Yeah.
You know, it's this whole idea, like, what do you wear to be told that you're not good enough?
Yeah.
And it was like just one of these, like, because I knew that we had made these plans before we had both kind of been like, oh, this isn't going to work. So this was going to be the, it was just strange. And yeah.
Yeah. The one that I think of, it was red flags from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like from the beginning, I was like, this is not going to go anywhere. This is ridiculous. Why am I even starting down this road? And yet still when it ended, it was so painful and humiliating is the wrong word, but like deeply hurtful. And yeah, that stuck with me ever since. And I feel like that's just who this is for Samantha.
Right.
I feel like this is just that guy that hurt her, that as much as she wants to say, oh, I'm going to turn the tables and get him back, it's far too easy to fall back into that desire for this person that hurt you to make you feel better.
Right. Because you're like, I just want you to... It's almost like make me feel better.
Like validation almost. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it, I mean, only the one that hurts you can make you feel better kind of thing. And yeah, that is what this feels like. And I feel you, girl.
You are beautiful.
So now, yeah, now we get to Carrie evolving her look in her net top.
Yeah, mosquito net. I don't know what it is.
Not even mosquito. Like, there is no net loose enough to describe how, like, loosely this top is woven.
I just don't get it. And all I can imagine is that the clasps from her bra keep getting stuck in it, and it's, like, snagging.
I mean, I think it looks cool. Like, I enjoy it as far as aesthetic goes.
And one thing I noticed about this episode, it's, like, Carrie's body is out of control.
It makes me insane.
Like, when she's standing there talking to Big and, like, that
tiny. And I'm like, I know I should be looking at your face. But I'm just looking at your stomach.
That her abs are perfect. Her arms are great. She looks incredible. So she can really wear whatever she wants.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she does. Stanford's back.
Oh, Stanford's back. Yeah, so we go out for pastries. Charlotte invites her, you know, straight female friend and gay male friend to come and have pastries.
So they can be the judges.
Yeah, so you can kind of like check it out.
This is all for us.
Sweets for my sweet.
And her freeloading friends.
My nutritionist will kill me, but somebody hand me a fork.
We have the... I feel like Stanford has a line of, like, all the good ones are straight, even the gay ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like, in general, gay men think all the good ones are straight, and straight women think all the good ones are gay.
Yeah.
It's just sort of grass is always greener kind of situation.
Right.
I don't believe there are any good ones.
Wow. You guys, if anyone knows someone out there for Mike...
Keep them away.
Keep them...
Why do you hate your friend?
Oh, gosh.
So we get to Miranda at dinner.
Yes, with Joseph Adler, who just seems boring. Like, this whole dinner seems boring.
It does
boring.
Seem boring. Also,
we want Steve. We want Steve.
I always am interested by TV food.
Lamb.
Well, I love lamb, first of all. But, like, was that lamb? Did someone prepare a dinner for her? And how long does that food sit there? Like, she really is eating and putting that meat into her mouth. This is so silly, but I just had that moment of, where did that food come from? How fresh is it? Did they make her a new lamb for every take?
I mean, it may have not actually been lamb, because lamb is expensive, but they probably also had a big budget, so yes. I'm sure it's not, like, piping hot.
Right.
But it's food, and I know that, like, you know, like, ice cream is usually mashed potatoes. Like, I know that
right,
sort of stuff.
So, this is a date that she had not wanted to go on, but she sort of, in desperation, decided to say yes to.
Finally a first date, because usually when we start these things, it's like, Miranda had been dating in a serious relationship with this person we've never seen before.
Yeah, so we have an actual first date, which is nice and refreshing. I'm going to just go ahead and say I'm uncomfortable with comparing hair plugs to freezing your eggs.
Yeah.
I feel like those are two, like, pretty different situations. I also want to say I don't think that he has completely invalid points on every point. But just why are you speaking that way to a person you're on a first date with?
Because some people are rude.
Oh, my Lord. Like, what makes you think that's going to go well, talking to someone in that manner? I mean, you just invalidate all your own points by the way in which you say them.
What is all this reproductive technology doing for us? I mean, do we want desperate women having babies at 50? If you ask me, this is a ridiculous abuse of science.
Hey, I don't need to be lectured about science by a man who's doing crop rotation on his forehead.
Yeah, so that date doesn't go well.
No.
But she does go off the hormones.
Well, good, because she tends to jump the gun.
That is
things.
True.
What I love, too, is that they get into this huge fight, and I'm like, Miranda's, like, going to fucking get up. She's going to, like, throw her napkin, but she just stays and eats that
lamb. I did think about that, too. Like, dinner cannot be very comfortable after that
but
moment.
She likes it. She
no, she's
going
to eat
good.
Her food. Yeah. So, yeah, then we get to the mirroring shot of the medicine cabinet that we have the inside of the freezer, as she's the only frozen thing in her freezer is ice.
And vodka.
And was that vodka? I can tell if it was vodka or gin.
Oh, I think it was vodka. Probably one time, vodka. Mike got into a very heated argument with someone because they were like, well, you can't put vodka in the freezer.
Oh, yeah? You can't want to check out my freezer right now? Yeah. You're supposed to put vodka in the freezer.
Mike was like, that's not to my freezer! I just remember that day.
We have a cut to Cher.
Ah, Cher.
I will say this song was everywhere in 1999. This is very appropriate for the...
Do
for
you
this.
Believe in
Yeah, I mean, everywhere. Yeah. This was the song that
I just
year.
Thought, like, of course Cher is playing.
Yeah. And, you know, she just asks.
Are you gay?
Yeah, Charlotte is just like, let's cut to the chase. Let me just ask.
And I love his response.
His response is really, really good.
I'm a 35-year-old pastry chef who lives in Chelsea. If I were gay, I would be gay.
And I hope, I'm going to believe that that's true. Apparently, he has the same sheets as Samantha.
Oh.
Because we do that weird little cut where we go from his bed and the sheets look never ending. And then suddenly we're in Samantha's bed.
I didn't notice that. Good eye.
Or very similar sheets, at least.
And then they're about to do it again, Samantha and Dominic. And she makes that weird animal noise.
She does do the weird animal noise. And he says, I'm going to miss you.
Yeah, she's like, where are you going?
And he's going to try to make it work with his ex. It's mostly financial.
Which I could see. He seems like the type of guy that would be like, this prenup sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't want to give up his sailboat, I guess.
No.
I just like the admission that it's mostly financial. And yeah, so her plan backfired. It did not go the way that she wanted it to, and he's hurting her all over again. I want to quickly, I don't think we've discussed this, even though I've noticed it. Her bed doesn't really fit in that space. Like, the headboard of her bed overlaps with a door on each side of the
really?
Bed.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
Not by a lot, but by a few inches. I just feel like the measurements are a little bit off. And then I can't imagine that's an exit from the bedroom. Like, I feel like one door has to be a closet and one door has to be a bathroom or something. I don't know. That room doesn't read to me as though that's the exit from the bedroom to go into her living room. I don't know. It's just a weird setup for her bedroom.
Well, I always laugh at that, like, 1920s phone that she carries into the bed with her. Like, it's very, very, you know, old Hollywood.
Yeah. It's just an odd set to me. The way that things fit together just don't quite work. But anyway, I guess that's not the point. So then we get to the kitchen the next morning with Stefan and Charlotte. And he's making
scones. He's making with scones. Lemon curd.
There we go. And we hear a noise. Now, I meant to pay attention. I didn't see a thing at the end that said no animals were hurt during the making of this TV show. That wasn't a real little mouse in that glue trap, was it?
Oh, I don't know.
It looked really real.
I just got sad and I didn't really look because I said glue traps are inhumane.
Glue traps are so terrible. And I will confess that I've used one before, but they're really sad.
They're terribly sad.
Yeah. Poor little mice. I mean, I don't want them living in my house. I understand that. But I actually love mice.
They're cute. But this reminded me of one time I didn't know that Mike doesn't like spiders. And one time I texted him something using a spider emoji.
Ugh.
And he texted me like 400 times immediately just so that would be off of his screen.
I just needed to get that spider off of my... I know that it just is a phobia, I guess. I just hate them so much. The back of my magazine had like an iPhone ad and the picture on the phone was a spider. And I had to tear the back page of the magazine off because I couldn't hold that in my hand. Like that's, ugh. I just don't like them. I have a friend who owns spiders and will post pictures on Facebook and I just have to like get through it as quickly as, it's just, I don't like them.
I'm sorry.
It's very upsetting. I do, however, like mice.
Well, this is probably how Stefan feels.
Yeah, that poor little mouse. Yeah, so I don't know. What are our thoughts on Charlotte's reaction?
I think Charlotte might just need someone in her life that, I hate using the word, I don't want to say masculine because I don't like those.
Right. I mean, what I'll say, I guess, is that we've always known that Charlotte is the traditionalist.
Right, and she wants She wants what society and culture has named a traditional man.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But once again, I was looking at Stefan and I was like, this is someone that I would love. Like,
right.
I think, but I'm also like extremely open when it comes to what people identify as, what they, you know.
Yeah.
Myself, dated men, women. I'm not like someone that's. I don't know. I was just like, oh, he seems like a great guy.
You are non-traditional.
I am a non-traditionalist.
Yeah. So I hope that Stefan found someone. I'm sure he did. He's super cute and has a great apartment and
yeah,
is employed and is a male in New York City, so I think he'll be just fine.
You know, and maybe if he does, like, turn out to be someone who wants to have sex with a man, he could hook up with Stanford.
They've now met.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to carry at Biggs. I don't like this episode. I didn't want to say it at the beginning of the episode. I think this episode is dumb. Who took that photo?
And suddenly I realized I didn't have to worry about leaving something behind. Because I was there.
So there's a photo of Carrie and Big in the drawer.
Well, I thought in my mind that it was taken when they went to that Italian restaurant. And I think that maybe Paolo took it.
Okay.
The waiter.
And somehow this appeases her. Like, I don't
but
need
to have...
But he
has it hidden in a drawer.
I know. It's hidden in a drawer. And no, that's not the same as being able to leave a hairdryer behind. I just think it's dumb. I just think that it's a stupid storyline. And you should be... If you're dating someone for a certain amount of time... You should be able to leave a pair of underwear there.
Then why, like, did you tell me to watch this show if you hate it so much?
I don't hate this show. And I find this episode entertaining. I just find it aggravating.
Right. Now that we're looking at it at a deeper level.
Right. Like, I can laugh at the jokes and think it's funny. And we end with the underwear shot where it lands on his face perfectly. And I wonder if the camera was on her face at the same time that it was on his face, because she reacts to his reaction. And it's funny. It's entertaining.
And I hope they're not... I hope they're not, like, stinky used.
I'm going to guess that they're
because her underwear
fresh.
Is small, which yeah. means they're going in every crack.
I just find it... I just feel like we had, like, Samantha trying to get back at this guy that backfires. I feel like we have Miranda dating this... Going, like, taking a chance and dating a guy for the first time
right.
that backfires. We have Charlotte going on a date with this guy that she was friends with. Are they still friends after this? Probably not. That probably ended their friendship.
We may or may not have killed a mouse.
We may or may not have killed a mouse. I just think this episode is a little infuriating.
They threw minor shade at the Dame Betty Buckley.
She is a lovely, lovely woman. I've actually met her before. Name drop.
Name drop, Betty Buckley. And if you listen to Theater People's episode with Betty
there
Buckley,
you, go.
You can find out more.
Uh-huh. It's a great episode. She's super, super, like, super entertaining. Such a great, great talker.
For those of you who don't know, Mike is a co-producer on the amazing podcast Theater People. So if you are a theater fan, check
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, check it out. It's a good podcast. I'm very proud of it. We've had some really cool guests, including Betty Buckley.
Betty Buckley.
So there you go. I don't mean to say that it's a bad episode. I just find it to be kind of an infuriating episode.
I get it. I mean, okay, it was a small step for mankind, but a big step for Big. That was
so
the last line of the
dumb.
Show.
So dumb. No, it wasn't. Ugh.
So we did have a question from a listener. What are you guys eating? <'Cause>,
today?
No, yesterday. Oh. It was actually Tom. Tom was like, what are you guys eating? Because I'm getting hungry. The answer is usually we are at Hell's Kitchen.
Usually.
The restaurant Hell's Kitchen in Hell's Kitchen.
They
on
have
9th
really
Avenue.
Good fajitas.
Mike loves the fajitas. I live for a Brussels sprout nacho.
Oh, those are so good, too.
So a lot of times we're there. Sometimes we keep it simple and go to Sweet Green and grab a salad.
Sweet Green salad when we're on the go.
You know, so, but most of the time it's going to be Mexican.
Mostly.
Because Mike is gluten intolerant.
And also frozen margarita, highly tolerant.
Yeah, very tolerant of margaritas. So that's that.
That's
that.
Scoop.
That's the big issues, the scoop on... In our lives.
Well, so there we go. Done with that one. On to the next. I don't know if I should say it.
Should I close my ears?
No, I'm super excited for the next episode. That's all I'm going to say.
It's episode 12, which means Carrie and Big aren't breaking up yet. but it does mean that Steve's coming back, maybe.
We shall see.
Or Skipper.
Join us next week.
I don't think Skipper is coming home.
You don't think Skipper's coming home?
Mm-mm.
Where are you, Skipper? Look, I sang this
Why
time.
Why can't I find you?
Bye.
Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at Mikey Jensen. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. Join us next week for La Douleur Exquise. Pardon my French.
No, I think that she ruined it. Hold on, I'm Googling birth control. Because I don't want to sound like a stupid woman. I started taking birth control for bad periods. That's what every, like, 15-year-old says so they can get on birth control.
When really, it's because you were a super, super slutty teenager.
Yeah, super slutty marching band teenager. Where she leaves the dishwasher. The dishwasher!
That would be pervasive.
The whole dishwasher.
I'm going to leave this. I'm going to see if he even notices that I leave this dishwasher.
Dishwasher in his medicine cabinet. What am I saying? I have this habit of just saying really weird words sometimes. Then Carrie, like, her comeback is to Charlotte is, you're so uptight, you need to do a number 7.
I feel like Samantha says that.
Oh. All right. Then Samantha's comeback is, you're so uptight, you need to do a number 7.
We'll edit in whichever one of those is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have the one take walk because they sort of have this conversation where it's...
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I'm thinking of, like, being with my friends, be like, do you want to get some Tasty D? And now that would just
like,
have,
not
like...
not ironically
no,
at all.
No, just be like, do you want to get some Tasty D?
I could use some Tasty D.